God, you are so good. And in this life, we have suffering. Remind us in our suffering that you have not turned against us. You are still with us. You are supporting us. And in our fear, Lord, help us to remember that you are a present help in time of refuge. Thank you, Lord, for being able to stand here again this morning and in your strength. And may your word be effective in the hearts of those who listen. Amen. Well, I want to thank all of you for your support and love. Last week when I went out of here laying down, I saw the crowd of people in the fellowship hall, and I was blessed to see all of you out there in prayer. It typifies the unity that we've seen growing here over the last several months. And you know, I didn't want to fall last week. But the ambulance, one of the ambulance drivers, when we were in the ambulance, she said, "There's a whole lot of love in that church." You know, I don't expect to fall down again, but you know, and you're praying I won't. Thank you. But God has to do some things that are most effective for the building of the kingdom. So God's still working in me, so keep praying. We're going to read the same scripture, the same scripture that we read last week. And if you would stand, please, and I'll read it. And we'll have we're going to talk about what I think are the most cogent points of the passage that we are dealing with. So when man began to multiply on the face of the land, and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of man were attractive, and they took as their wives any they chose. Then the Lord said, "My spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh. His days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterwards, when the sons of God came into the daughters of man, and they bore children to them. These were the mighty men who were of old, the men of renown. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, 'I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals, and creeping things, and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them.' But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." You may be seated. That verse is the most important verse in the next two chapters of Scripture. And that's what I want to talk mostly about today. Because of the extent of sin, we just read that passage, God had determined worldwide punishment. But we see grace in the promise of the flood. In chapter 6, verses 8 to 22, I'm not going to read all those verses. Start again with 8. "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." Noah didn't work for favor. God gave it to him. Paul said in Romans that where sin abounded, grace abounded more. So I'd like for us to consider how grace abounded, first of all, in the promise of the flood. And these are the next few points. We see grace in Noah's life in verses 9 and 10. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God, and Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Noah was blameless. That word means complete, whole. Noah was a man of integrity. Noah walked with God. He lived consciously and obviously in a manner that pleased God. And one evidence of Noah's integrity is that his three sons followed him. We always read his three sons in connection with his name. The earth was corrupt and full of violence. We read that. But not Noah's household. Three of the eight flood survivors were Noah's sons. When the earth filled with people after the flood, it was Noah's sons who led the revival. In 7:1, God told Noah, "Go into the ark, you and all your household, for I've seen that you are righteous before me in this generation." And all the people around him outside, turning their backs on God, turning away from Noah. God said that Noah is righteous. So there's grace in the ark. And that's in verses 11 to 21. Let me read 11 to 13. I got to get to Genesis. Maybe here we go. Let me. You have your Bibles open, I'm sure. So let me just. I want to look at verse 13. And God said to Noah, "I've determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth." That verse answers the question, why would God include animals in the destruction? Ever thought about that? They didn't sin. They can't sin. They don't have any soul. They don't have any spirit. Well, because in some way, animals contributed to the corruption. But God graciously spared two of every kind of animal so the earth could be restored. God showed grace in the construction of the ark. There we go. Nope, I think you're all right back there where you were. Yeah. The ark was safe. Ashley Shirley, go to the next one. I messed up there. There we go. The ark was safe. Who in that generation would know how to build a boat? Let alone a boat as big as the ark. God planned all the details. Tar and all the seams, inside and out. A roof to keep the rain from flooding the inside. It was safe in the ark. Hebrews says, in fact, that Noah constructed an ark for the saving of his household. First priority. You think about that. First priority wasn't to save the animals. That had to happen. But God had Noah build the ark to save his family. The ark was spacious. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits, its breadth, 50 cubits, and its height, 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above, and set the door of the ark in its side, make it with lower, second, and third decks. Gopher wood is mentioned only one time in the Bible. That's this passage. The material of the ark is not as important as the size. The ark was 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits tall. Answers in Genesis has built, you know, the Answers in Genesis, you know that organization down in Kentucky? They have built an ark scale to the ark of the Bible. If you've never been there, take a couple of days, go to the Creation Museum, go to the Ark Encounter. It's really, in a sense, life-changing. If you ever see that, I strongly encourage you to go. The structure of the craft was more like a chest than like a ship. Staying afloat for a great period of time was more important than steering, because only God knew where they were going anyway. It didn't matter if they had a rudder. Think of the size of the ark. Let me go to that next slide. Thanks, I changed my. You see in the front there's two little things, and it's people. This is to scale the dimensions in the Bible. This is what 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits tall looks like. And you can see the people in the foreground. Just to give you an idea of what that is. It was longer than three space shuttles end to end. It's 1.5 football fields long. Taller than a four-story building, with a storage capacity of 450 standard semi-trailers. And Noah built it with three floors. A boat the size of Noah's had more than enough room for eight people and every kind of animal. One floor could be designated just for Noah and his family, There's three stories there you can see inside the ark. The ark was sufficient. Also take you with you every sort of food that is eaten and store it up. It shall serve as food for you and for them. Food for people and animals. All they would need for their crews. God favored Noah also with grace in the promise. I will establish my covenant with you. You shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your family, and your sons' wives with you. And Noah obeyed the Lord. Peter uses Noah to encourage us. If God did not spare the ancient world, but preserved, I think you need to go one more. There we go. Thank you. I changed everything with this. This is like, Shirley's back there going, what? Thank you. If God did not spare the ancient world but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness with seven others when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, listen to this, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials. What a great promise. If God built this ark to save animals, and if God knows how to do that and preserve Noah, the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of the judgment. Let's look at how the ark was filled. Let's look at the filling of the ark. Verse 19, Genesis 6. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive. I'm going to say kind there. The ESV says sort. I think the better word is kind, and I'll get to that. They shall be male and female. Of the birds according to their kinds, and the animals according to their kinds, and of every creeping thing of the ground according to its kind, two of every sort shall come into you to keep them alive. How did Noah collect all those animals? Sometimes you see a picture, there's Noah standing by, Noah and his family standing by the ark, and these animals are coming two by two and just walking up into the plank. How did Noah get all those animals? He didn't. God brought them. Two of every sort shall come to you. God brought them. When the ark was finished, the animals were there, two of every kind. And here's why I say kind. This is part of the hierarchy of biological classification. You might not be able to read all of it. But God created kinds. And species came later, but I see family, I wrote kind. That's about where the kind comes in. It's a particular classification in the animal hierarchy. Species developed over time from the mating of different kinds and different aspects there. God didn't put all species in the ark. He put kinds. There's a kind feline, for instance. God didn't make every species of cat, didn't take every species of cat to the ark. Adam did not name, we said that we saw this when we first started, Adam did not name every species, he named every kind of animal. In other words, dog, cat, horse, the species. Noah did not bring every species of animal into the ark, he took kinds, as you can see from the next slide here, the bottom there's that would be feline. The ark only needed enough space for two of every kind, not two of every breed. The book Genesis Flood estimated that approximately 35,000 creatures were on board the sheep, just based on the kinds. Could a ship like the ark be built that could accommodate a conservative number of 40,000 animals? What? 40,000 animals? Well, you saw how big it was. And if you ever got in the thing, you'd... The average size of most vertebrates, we're told, is the size of a sheep. The living space each sheep needs is 11.12 cubic feet. If you multiply 40,000 by 11.12 cubic feet, I'll give you a minute. We arrive at 445,000 cubic feet. The total volume of the ship God commanded to be built was 1.5 million cubic feet. The ark would have been less than 30% full with lots of room to spare for the animals. If the animals were young and not fully grown, there would have been even more space, even dinosaurs. Some people, how could Noah get a dinosaur on the ark? He probably brought babies. And there was still plenty of room. Noah did all that God commanded him. Let me give a few more details on the filling of the ark in chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and all your household, for I've seen that you are righteous before me in this generation." That's why Noah made it to the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews 11. "Take with you 7 pairs of all clean animals, the male and his mate, and a pair of the animals that are not clean, the male and his mate, and 7 pairs of the birds of the heavens also, male and female, to keep their offspring alive on the face of the earth." A clean animal was one fit for human consumption, an unclean animal detrimental to man's health if consumed. More clean animals were brought into the ark because they were food, and when the ark landed, breeding stock would be necessary to repopulate. Clean animals were also sacrificial animals. Genesis 8:20 tells us that then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. I just want to read through the next verses and make some comments in the filling of the ark section, and then we'll wrap up. We're going to sing a few more songs, I think. Genesis 7:4, "For after 7 more days, I will send rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and it will blot out from the face of the land every living thing that I have made." Noah did everything according to all that God commanded him. 1 week after the animals started arriving, rain fell for 40 days. Every living thing outside the ark, every breathing thing outside the ark would die. Or every living thing would too, although plants died. Genesis 7:5, "And Noah did all the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters came upon the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with them went into the ark to escape the waters of the flood." We like to start retiring about 65, maybe that's good age. Noah's 600 years old, he's building a boat to hold all the animals. God had grace. If it was possible to escape the flood without going into the ark, why build it? It's kind of a preview to the fact that next time I talk, we'll discuss whether this was a local or a global flood. I'll tell you right now, it was a global flood, and one of the reasons is you don't build a boat that big if there's someplace else to go to escape it. Why is Noah going to spend 120 years building this ark if he can go 100 miles up the road and get dry? In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were opened, and rain fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Water fell from heaven, the underground fountains and springs erupted, so that hurried the time of flooding and ensured a complete upheaval of earth. Another clue to what happens next, that's why we don't see fossils as we do because they're billions of years old. We see fossils as they do because the ground compressed over them and they were formed into fossils over the period of the time the flood receded. The same day the rain started, Noah and his family went into the ark with the animals, and the Lord shut the door. The ark was a vessel of grace. And as Paul said in Romans, it's still true today, where sin increased, grace abounded more. Father, we're so struck by the magnitude of this magnificent creation. Thank you that we can read this in the Bible and know it's true. Thank you that the ark is a symbol to us of salvation. Thank you for keeping us safe and secure and for the sufficiency of our salvation. Thank you, Lord, for gathering here this morning, for being able to worship and praise you for your great and marvelous work. In Jesus' name, amen.